Welcome back, ghosts, ghouls, and things that go bump in the night, to another holiday episode of the Haunted Horror Historian. Christmas is only a day away, and we received a letter that is very timely. So, before you go make merry, why don't you take a seat, relax, and tune in, for I have to warn you about my father. Ah, the snow. How delicate and unique each flake of the cold white substance can be. The children will dash through it, flinging it left and right amongst each other. They will lay down and stretch their arms and legs in all directions, attempting to create a beautiful angel for all to see. Then, of course, there are the others who build snowmen, their laughter filling the frosty air as they partake in a multitude of holiday activities. How I envied those who enjoyed the Christmas spirit. I had never actually seen such festivities occur. Rather, I would hear about them through my father, who would tell me of the good boys and girls who truly valued what it meant to celebrate Christmas. I know, it's not Christmas yet. Just bear with me, okay? This needs to come out in advance for reasons that will soon become apparent. This story will be a recounting of an experience I had as a young boy. After finding myself away from my childhood home and stumbling upon civilization, I began taking the time to recollect a few memories from my childhood. Between strange occurrences I couldn't explain back then, and one freakish moment I had experienced at some point in time, I suppose this will act as a warning to you. I truly want to help you, and this is perhaps the best way I can spread the word around about what I have discovered without him finding out. Although I have traveled as far from my old home as I can, I still know for a fact that he's out there, and he can find me if I'm clumsy. Sure, this little VPN might do the trick for a while, but something tells me a man like him can bypass such a thing with time. Maybe. Maybe if there's enough of us telling this story, he won't be able to pick me out of the crowd. It's the best I can hope for, I suppose. Even still, I have to live the life of a nomad, never once being able to stop or catch my breath. Now, since I finished my introduction, I suppose it's time to release something I've been holding back for quite some time now. I can only hope that I make some sort of difference by doing this. My childhood was a strange one. When December would come, I would find myself locked inside my house. My father and I didn't adorn the walls with stockings or decorations, nor did we erect a Christmas tree in our living room. The fireplace was constantly extinguished, robbing me of the comfort I desired. Each night I would curl up in bed, trembling as the cold air ran across my body, and I stared up at the ceiling, my mind completely blank. Yeah, it was as bad as it sounds. No, I didn't know how rough things could get. There always seemed to be an innocent part of me that didn't mind the way I lived my life, no matter how barren the house could be during all times of the year. Don't get me wrong, my father was very good to me. I can't recall a day he didn't show me his wide smile and treat me as best he could. He took care of me, fed me well, and was a good parent overall. He was a rather direct fellow, but a kind man nonetheless. The only issue was that, well, he just wasn't a big fan of the holidays. This made for a very bleak life around the winter time, especially. I was surprised to hear that December was a time of celebration for many other people. My father told me it was a month where people came together. They would hang decorations on their house, light warm fires in the fireplace, and carry jovial expressions on their face as they feasted come supper time. I often thought he did it just to pull my leg. I had never seen the things he described to me after all, so it would make sense that maybe they were just stories. I rarely found it strange that we didn't live remotely near anyone else. Our small wooden hut was located high in the mountains, where the slopes would be treacherous for anyone ascending or descending the terrain. Perhaps, even if I had wanted to see the outside world, I wouldn't have been able to. It would have been impossible for me to climb up and down the rugged area, let alone at such a young age. Because of the sheer height of the mountains where we lived, the air was thin and the winds blew fiercely, and the most I ever saw of the outside world was through a window. While my father stayed inside with me, we would play board games and create drawings together. These and the various other indoor activities would teach me all about the outside world and what it was like. However, my favorite memories of my father are the stories he would tell me. As mentioned prior, he would tell me of his experience with those that dwelled under the mountain and across the world. His various interactions with such people piqued my curiosity, and, upon my request to learn more, he would bring me books and magazines. These sources were my first true contact with society, and I'd spend hours at a time reading. It kept me busy, and, despite the lack of holiday cheer in my life, I was content. As each December came, my father would start spending less time with me and more time in his private office. I only ever saw him carrying a large list of what appeared to be names on a sheet, and then he would vanish for lengthy periods of time. I always wondered what he did up there, but he never took the time to explain. He always brushed off my questions, or dismissed them with a simple, "You'll understand when you're older, kiddo." I never found myself content with these answers. For years, I felt as if my thirst for knowledge would remain unquenched, for the simple reason I hadn't a clue what my father did. After mischievously trying to sneak into his office one night while he slept, I found that the door was locked, and I never found the key. With my determination fleeing, I decided to just mind my own business and let him be. Several years of this same pattern would come and go, and I was fine with it at first. However, I was not fine with the repetitive and, quite frankly, monotonous routine. I had read all my books, perfected all of my art, and had gotten to the point where my father would retell the same old stories to me. I grew tired of these tedious rituals, and thus my curiosity sparked once more. It had been years since I had learned about the existence of my father's office. I thought that perhaps I was old enough to handle what was inside. You could imagine my dismay upon being denied my request to enter the room. I must have asked that man several times a month. Still, with his everlasting patience, he would always reply with a simple no each time. With all of this information out of the way, I think it's time I introduce you to something my father would do that would eventually cause my curiosity to overflow. You see, every night on December 24th, he would open the front door, a large brown bag slung over his shoulder. He'd wave goodbye to me with a jolly grin on his face. He'd release a cheerful laugh before closing the door and locking it behind him, making his merry way down the mountain with inhuman speed and skill before disappearing into the night. The following day, he would come back exhausted. After taking his bag to his office, he would then sleep for most of the day. I may have been an ignorant child, but I wasn't stupid. All the books I had read, all the stories I had heard, they connected like puzzle pieces together within my young brain, and I came to conclude that my father was, in fact, Santa Claus. I knew then more than ever that I had to find out what was in the office. So, I formulated a devious plan within my mind and decided it was worth a shot. After a few hours of waiting, I saw the sun beginning to rise above the horizon. The snowy weather had ceased on the mountain, and the morning was a calm one indeed. I struggled to keep my eyes open. I had waited all night for my father to return. After a while, I felt my body begin to relax. I fought with all of my strength to keep my eyes open, and right before I drifted into a sound sleep, I heard the front door. I perked my head up and fixated my eyes on the shape of my father stepping through the doorway. He looked surprised to see me up so early, but he flashed that same warm smile he always did and rubbed my head gently. As expected, he ascended the stairs and opened his office door. He told me to wait outside and not to look in, and I obliged his request. As he exited the room and closed the door, I stopped him before he could lock it with his key. I quickly grabbed his arm and pulled him downstairs. He tugged back towards the door in protest, but I was persistent, and he eventually gave in and followed me willingly. I led him to the kitchen, where a fresh batch of cookies awaited him, accompanied by a glass of milk. He smiled and thanked me before digging in, frantically eating the cookies and drinking his milk. After he finished, he wiped his mouth with his sleeve and got up. I could see the bags under his eyes and the tired expression on his face. With a single yawn, he went to his room and immediately fell asleep in bed. My plan had succeeded. I steadily made my way up the stairs and found myself in front of the office. Sweat pooled in my palms as I gripped the doorknob before me. Years of waiting and curiosity would be satisfied, and the mystery would finally be solved. I snickered softly. Finally, a little action. A vacation from the curiosity which had plagued me for so long. I trembled with excitement as I pushed the door open and entered. A single desk stood in the middle of the room, and the brown bag sat on top of it. I slowly approached the desk, placing my hands on the bag. With one swift motion, I opened it and poked my head inside. Its contents weren't exactly what I had suspected. What I saw in the bag just left me scratching my head in confusion. Inside, I found what at the time just seemed to be a random assortment of objects. I was disappointed with my findings, and I carefully made sure to exit the door and close it behind me, certain that I'd covered my tracks well. I never spoke a word of that experience to my father. I found myself chuckling a few times at how underwhelming it was. I was expecting something far greater, only to find a strange collection of items in a bag. Perhaps I laughed it off to distract myself from the truth of what I saw, but I convinced myself that my dad was nobody special all along. It wasn't until I got much older that I began thinking about what I had found and what it truly meant. When the realization finally hit me, I soon fled from my home. My body has grown acclimated to the environment I'd lived in, and one Christmas after my old man left the house, I was able to descend the mountain much like my father had, and had run far, far away. The items I had found that day, they corresponded with several of the objects kept in the possession of a certain Germanic legend. It was a folklore tale spread around regarding an entity that made itself known come Christmas. I had read about it in various magazines and books my father had retrieved for me long ago. I saw chains, coal, birch branches, rope, and branding irons. Each one had been used the previous night, and several child-sized shoes were also contained within the sack. All of them charred beyond repair. And that, listeners, was all that was sent in that letter. Well, I guess we know to be careful and cautious tonight. and listen for hoofbeats. Well, listeners, I hope you were good this year, and hopefully, you'll still be around for next week's story. Until next time, listeners, stay spooky, and remember, sometimes it's more than just a story.